DW Africa Link.
Is the U.S. threatening Nigeria? It was a shock to the world when U.S. President Donald Trump recently posted on social media that he was ordering the Pentagon to prepare for possible military action in Nigeria. Trump accused the Nigerian government of allowing the killing of Christians by Islamist militants. He threatened, quote, swift, brutal, and effective strikes, adding that he'd halt all U.S. aid if the violence continued. The Nigerian government strongly denied targeting Christians, emphasizing that both Christians and Muslims have suffered from terrorism and that security issues affect all faiths and regions. So is there any truth to Trump's comments? And how do Nigerians feel about this?
There are some conspiracy theories about even the purpose of this announcement by the President Trump. But we don't believe in rumor or hearsay. We believe the President of America should listen to good voices from this country.
I believe that people get killed in the country, both Christians and Muslims, but to frame it as Christian genocide alone is unthinkable. People that live within these territories are in the way of the natural resources that are attracting the people that are encroaching into the country, and that is why they get killed. Everybody gets killed, but to frame it as genocide, I don't think that is the case.
There isn't a Christian genocide per se, but if this thing continues unabated, if it is not nipped in the bud, the population of Christians will drastically reduce. That is just the fact. The Christian minorities in the north, they are scared of actually, showing or displaying their faith in the open because they feel they are endangered.
That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr. and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
The U.S. has designated Nigeria a country of particular concern for religious freedom violations. That's a high-profile diplomatic move with possible consequences for aid and engagement. That's after a surprise public threat by U.S. President Donald Trump to strike Nigeria over alleged attacks on Christians. This has shaken diplomatic relations, raised questions about the drivers behind U.S. action, and exposed deep and complex security, political, and humanitarian realities on the ground in Nigeria. Joining me for more on this is Dr. Philibus Audu Nwamagi, a specialist in military history, defense, and security studies. I also have my colleague Ben Chimang, DW correspondent in Nigeria. Hello and welcome to Africa Link. An American president threatening military action in your country, isn't that disrespectful and an insult to Nigeria?
Ordinarily, one would say it is disrespectful and an insult for any country that is living up to its responsibility in terms of securing the lives of the citizens and the properties. No nation can threaten any military action in such a country. But when a nation fails to protect and secure its people, then it attracts international attention and the responsibility to protect. Because it is expected that the first and major responsibility of any government is to secure the life of its people. Of course, America, as we know, plays the role of the world's superpower. And one of its responsibilities is to ensure that their security all over the globe. So it is just an expression of concern by the U.S. president concerning the plight of Nigerians who have been affected by these terrorist attacks for over a decade now. When the government did not do what they're supposed to do, what else do you expect? The international community will naturally want to come in order to help to secure the lives of the people of Nigeria.
Trump called it religious violence, right? Claiming that Islamist extremists are targeting Christians. Is that what's going on?
There are some who are of the opinion that what is going on in Nigeria does not affect only Christians. Because even though there are particular areas, predominantly Christians, that have been targeted by the terrorist groups, there are also pockets of areas in the north that is dominated also by Muslims that have also suffered these attacks, and many lives have been lost. So I wouldn't want to say it is generally a religious crisis, because there are a lot of things that comes with it. There are economic issues, there are social issues. And of course, the terrorists have stated their intentions right from the beginning. Terrorism, as we know it, the major aim is to destabilize the government, and with the aim of establishing another government. So it may not necessarily be that it is generally a religious issue, but of course the religious component has dominated any other component as far as insecurity is concerned.
Okay, right. So you disagree with Trump calling it religious violence, claiming that Islamist extremists are targeting Christians, but you agree with him on the basis of the fact that if Nigeria, in your words, is not doing enough to protect its own people, then you can understand why the U.S. president is trying to meddle in Nigeria's business. Just to make sure I got you clear, for that, you're okay with that?
I disagree with it in part, but lastly, I agree that there is religious persecution. But of course, not by the government, but by a terrorist organization. There has been deliberate targeting of Christian communities by Islamist terrorists. But in their oppression, they did not also spare completely communities that are dominated by Muslims. So lastly, yes, there has been a consistent attack on Christian-dominated communities. But in part also, some Muslim communities, for example, in Zamfara, in Katsina, has also suffered this series of attacks from these same militias. So I agree with Trump in part. I'm not saying that it is totally a violence against Christians alone. But lastly, there is an attack on Christian communities.
Okay. Before I move to Bernard Amchemang, I would want your take on this, because it looks like Nigeria's foreign minister, Yusuf Tuggar, agrees with you, because he actually said maybe an hour or two before recording this podcast on the 4th of November, he said that state involvement in religious persecution was, quote, impossible in Nigeria under the country's laws and constitution. So the government has totally refuted Trump's claims that there is religious violence in the first place.
What we've done is we've articulated what our constitution says about religious freedom, what our federal laws say about religious freedom, Nigeria's constitutional commitment to religious freedom and rule of law. All the answers are in there. And this is what guides us. And this is what shows that it's impossible for there to be a religious persecution that can be supported in any way, shape, or form by the government of Nigeria at any level.
What do you make of this response from the foreign minister?
The government has been making efforts to combat these incessant attacks on these communities. But of course, the government have not been able to bring under control these attacks over the years. And I think that's the reason why, if you go on social media, you see the social media is awash with videos and data of mass burials, of killings, of communities, of burning communities. And I think these are the issues that Donald Trump and the international communities have seen and have led them to come to that conclusion that there is religious violence.
Let me keep talking to you about this, because we're on to something. And then, you know, our correspondent is staying tuned in, and we're going to get to him to get general reactions on the ground to Trump's comments. But now let's address the core of the issue, because you're right. I mean, different Nigerian governments have not been able to deal with Boko Haram and other terror groups. Why is that the case? We're talking about hundreds of people losing their lives every year. Why are different governments not able to deal with the terror in Nigeria?
I believe that Nigeria is still struggling. You know, one of the fundamental rights of every citizen of any country is to have his life secure and a peaceful environment that will enable economic activities to flow without interruption. So Nigeria as a country is still considered as a third world country.
That's all not very clear. But let me come to you, Ben. And I have taken some time with the expert because, you know, we're getting a lot of information from him. But Ben, what is the response inside Nigeria to President Trump's comments about Christian persecution and military intervention?
Many Muslims will tell you there's nothing like religious persecution or genocide in Nigeria. But many Christians will also tell you that it is happening. Now, it all started when you had the Catholic Archbishop in one of the dioceses in Benue State. He went to America and gave them statistics. And of course, you could see videos, clips of religious leaders burying Christians affected, you know. So armed with that, people like Ted Cruz just felt, look, they should also come to Nigeria to confirm some of these things. And they did their own confirmation.
But is there a sense among locals that foreign narratives misrepresent the nature of the violence going on in parts of Nigeria?
Yes, because some people believe that people in the West, America in particular, they are not really so much informed as per what is taking place. And when they do say that America will come to intervene, how will they intervene militarily? When you also have communities in some families, Saddam, Borno, for example, the children, some are Christians, some are Muslims. Tinubu himself is a Muslim and the wife is a pastor. So how will you fight that kind of war? So you just see that some people are feeling that there are more to it than just this kind of religious card being flown here and there.
At the end of the day, what we all agree to is that Christians, Muslims, Nigerians in general are facing some level of persecution, some level of terror. So can you give us examples of how all sides are affected by the ongoing conflicts in parts of Nigeria? Just paint a picture for us.
Good. Now, if you come to Southern Kaduna, you go to Kaduna State, you go to Kaura local government, there's a ward called Bondon. There was a time, 2014, that around 150 people were killed. All of them were Christians. All of them. No Muslim lost a life there. Now, if you go to Dogon Hawa in Plateau State, Ratsat and Zot, when they were attacked, I remember going there. All the corpses that were there were all Biron people, all of them Christians. No Muslim was killed in that place. Now, just yesterday, people from Goza is in southern part of Borno, they brought out statistics where they said that community alone, that local government, had close to 200 churches. Today, they have as less as about 50. And that even when where churches were burned, and but mosques also burned, the mosques have already been built. Whereas the churches, the Christians have already migrated. They are mostly in camps, including here in Nigeria and some in Maiduguri. Now, if you go to Muslim areas too, these attackers, like in Gobir area, Sokoto State, go to Zamfara, you just see that these are attacks also being carried by passive Muslim Islamists, terrorists, who are also attacking Muslims too. And so there appears to be also a line of divide between the Hausas now and the Fulanis. As at the point, some people, the Hausas will feel the Fulanis are more of the ones attacking. You know, the Fulanis are also accusing the Hausas of the same thing. So it's a game that truly, if a war breaks out, you really don't know the line of demarcation.
So from all that you've said, you're drawing the point that both Christians and Muslims are attacked in the terror unfolding in parts of Nigeria. I want to just find out, as we try to wrap things up now, how is the government responding to what Trump said? And what do you sense about the appetite for the current government of Nigeria to really tackle the terror that has been unfolding for decades in the country?
As we are talking now, the president is now saying that by next week, ambassadors will be appointed. Nigeria, since Tinubu came on ground, we've never had ambassadors appointed and posted anywhere for them to negotiate and make America see reasons. Outside that, there have always been this politics of I don't care attitude. It does not matter the killings that are going on. You just see that political campaigns are going on as if nothing is happening, as if life does not matter. So because of this push from Trump, you could see that instead of the Minister of Information talking on this matter, rather is the president's advisor on the media and publicity, Daniel Bwala, who is saying that in the next few days, Tinubu will be going to America to speak with Donald Trump on this matter. Outside that, we can also see that the National Security Advisor, Nuhu Ribadu, has been meeting, in fact, with the service chiefs. You know, they are new. As soon as they were sworn in, this bombshell came in from America. And so people are saying that if there had been ambassadors to explain things, the things would have been better. But again, you find out that people, I mean, some religious leaders are also not helping issues. You see hate messages here and there, and they are being carried by the social media. So government finds it hard to even control the information flow. And so people are really worried. If this happens, I mean, in terms of the population of West Africa, how will Africa manage the number of people that will be refugees? America should think twice. Rather, they should join hands like they've been doing. The same Trump sold what they call Super Tucano and for the fight against Boko Haram. They have also sent soldiers to help in terms of training. So they need more of this rather than say, okay, they're coming to America, to Nigeria to fight. If they're coming to fight on the side of who? On the side of Muslims to aggravate the situation? Or are they going to be at the center? So it's a big thing.
Right. Which is why, obviously, at the end of the day, we're discussing this to understand the situation on the ground and to discuss also or to talk about solutions moving forward. And I will give you the final words now, Philippus, to wrap this up for us. You've already hinted at Nigeria working closely with the U.S. to deal with the situation. Is that the way to go? What more needs to be done to tackle terror in Nigeria?
Nigeria needs to depoliticize security issues. They should remove politics aside. Whoever is attacked or killed in Nigeria, whatever cultural or religious group such a person belongs, should be seen that a Nigerian life has been taken. So the Nigerian government should be more proactive, more coordinated. They should intensify their efforts and invest more in security, in securing the life of Nigerian people. That's one. Then number two, issues of hunger and hardship must be taken into account, because in most cases, the youths easily involve themselves in criminal activities as a result of hunger and poverty. I'm saying this because in some of our communities where we've had people being kidnapped, people being killed, investigations have shown over the years that there are always collaborators within the community, youths who are offered money or offered some economic incentives, sometimes join their hands with these terrorists in order to attack their own community. So the issue of hunger, issue of poverty, must be looked into as a long-term solution to issues of security in Nigeria.
Right.
And then there must be deliberate efforts to bring together the people of Nigeria as one. Unity and togetherness must take the first place. We must remove religious sentiment and remove all the primordial sentiment in order to see Nigeria as one and face any threat that comes to Nigeria together as a country.
Thank you very much, both of you. And if any statement made by any world leader is going to help throw the spotlight on the challenges being faced in parts of Nigeria, then it is welcome. Thank you very much, Dr. Philibus Audu Nwamagi, a specialist in military history, defense, and security studies. Also, many thanks to you, Ben Chimang, DW correspondent in Nigeria. Nigeria, Africa's most populous country, has been grappling with violence from Boko Haram and other terror groups for over 15 years, particularly in the Northeast. Trump's statement has sparked a range of reactions, underscoring the complexity of the situation.
Indeed, there are some conspiracy theories about even the purpose of this announcement by the President Trump. But we don't believe in rumor or hearsay. We believe the President of America should listen to good voices from this country, reliable and honest voices from this country, and rethink over this so-called decision. It's just a collection of wrong statistics, especially genocide in the North. I can categorically say that these statistics are wrong, they are misleading, and it does not reflect the true situation of killings, banditry, and other vices in the North.
Mr. Trump has interior motive. It's not to our own advantage. There are more to it. So I think, if you ask me, I advise Mr. President, our President, Achiwaja Tinubu, to find a political solution to it.
When you talk about killing in place like Plateau, in place like Benue, where you have almost 80% of their population as Christian, then if you are now saying it's not genocide, then you are not being fair.
No, I believe that we are giant Africa. We have a soldiers who they can go to neighboring country to fight for them. But what is happening in our country? So what Donald Trump is saying is true. People are dying and it's getting out of hand. So if we believe that they should not come, we should do something about it.
Both U.S. and Nigeria have sovereignty, and that word exists for a reason. I do not see the reason why Donald Trump, president of the United States, will be drumming the drums of war over Nigeria for things that are really not founded. I believe that people get killed in the country, both Christians and Muslims, but to frame it as Christian genocide alone is unthinkable. People that live within these territories are in the way of the natural resources that are attracting the people that are encroaching into the country, and that is why they get killed.
There isn't a Christian genocide per se. But if this thing continues on about it, if it is not nipped in the bud, the population of Christians will drastically reduce. The Christian minorities in the North, they are scared of actually, showing or displaying their faith in the open because they feel they are endangered.
Reports indicate that conservative and evangelical lobbying, along with high-profile comments by U.S. senators, pushed the issue up the agenda. According to human rights organizations, the security situation in Nigeria is worsening. There are widespread killings, kidnappings, and attacks by Islamist insurgents, bandit gangs, and communal militias. But they stress that these attacks affect both Christians and Muslims and vary by geography. We'd like to know your thoughts, so please share them with us on Facebook at DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. and subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe, and I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
For Minds.